We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to Floyd Street's Finest. I'm Jack Grossman. He's Jeff Greer. Thanks for tuning in a March Madness edition of Floyd Street's Finest. And the good news is, Jeff, all is quiet on the Western Front, right? Nothing's going on at all. This is a very slow-moving time of year on every retrospect. Louisville's not in the tournament, but there's nothing to talk about, right? Of course not. The coaching search has been absolutely haywire. We got players in the portal. And yes, on the back end, I would like to do, you know, some Final Four picks and stuff like that, because you guys know me. I'm a sucker for this stuff. But Jeff, we do need to spend, I feel like, the bulk majority of our time here on the coaching search and the pivot that's kind of happened this morning and today, to where it feels like the local side of things, it's been a very big battle, I feel like, in some respects, to where locally we've had Drew Dieter, Eric Crawford, Rutherford, a bunch of different people say, you know, Louisville's making these big offers for Scott Drew, $8 million, $8.5 million, I think is what Rutherford said last week. Crawford was somewhere in the $6-7 million range. Say, you know, they're shooting their shot at Scott Drew. And I feel like more on the national side, it's been very tempered on that with Scott Drew. So here's the first thing I want to ask you before we kind of get into like this shift to Dusty May and what's going on there. Why has there been such a disconnect on a local and national front in terms of Scott Drew's interest in the Louisville job, the chances that he might end up taking it? But I would argue before today, where it seems like things have shifted more than Dusty May.
Yeah. I think it's always going to be local versus national pretty much in any market. When you've got people who know people. So those guys you mentioned, they know people around town. They know boosters. They know people who maybe work in the athletics department. And that's how this stuff happens. The national guys are, the funny thing is like, I don't know that anybody is wrong. If that makes any sense, like, I don't think that anybody is, this is just my assessment of it. I as you know, I've unplugged from a lot of stuff, but I just think a lot of it is dictated by agents. And then, you know, who, you know, in the business, because coaches all talk, And they certainly are aware of all of the jobs in the carousel and who may go where. There are certain big name coaches who have been around for a while who play a role in that kind of stuff, and maybe help behind the scenes. I've heard some great stories over the years about, you know, Rick Pitino, when he was in Louisville, having a say in or not a say, but being asked for his input on certain job openings that come up across the country. ADs reach out, boosters reach out, all that stuff. And that's this business. So, you know, I think probably the national guys are coming from a place of skepticism just in general, that most coaches in the position that Scott Drew is in don't want to leave. I think it's hard for people to grasp, or because we're so used to big name hires over the years, or whoever the hot mid-major coach is, and then maybe a couple of big name coaches moving from power conference to power conference or within conference. But Jack, the biggest thing is, it seems like a lot of these guys are happy where they are. And they're obviously getting paid handsomely. The money is really not going to be that big of a difference. So it's just a matter of, do you want to keep doing what you're doing at that school or elsewhere? And I think, you know, when you're getting your info from people who badly want something, and you're getting people information from people who maybe are agents or connected in a different way, you might get a different tone in the delivery of it, or the way that it's brought up. That's just my perspective on that.
Right. And there's no doubt in my mind that Louisville has been shooting their shot for Scott Drew based off of everything we've heard. Mm-hmm. Just the question's always been, would that shot actually land? And would Baylor pony up the money on their end to make it competitive enough to for a guy that's been there for 2 decades, won a national championship there, literally just had a new arena and practice facility designed to his liking yeah. there that opened just this year. That's a lot to pull out of a guy. Yeah, but yeah, I think the sense of, if Baylor wasn't going to play ball with him, maybe that would open up the Louisville job. And we haven't heard one way or another, yes or no, but I feel like with the shift locally, on Tuesday, I almost said Wednesday, today is actually Tuesday, but the shift we've seen here on Tuesday locally makes me sound like, okay, maybe either Baylor ponied up the money, or Scott Drew maybe, you know, it seems to have cooled on that front, and it seems like the full court press is starting to be put on more Dusty May.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly seems the way the wind is blowing, but that's what the coaching carousel is, right?
You never know. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, yeah, you never know. So it is interesting. You know, the portal opened yesterday. You've got teams that, like, don't have coaches. Like, Louisville is getting, I saw they were enlisted for a kid from Drexel, and, you know, you're like, well, who is making that phone call? I would assume it would be Josh,
or maybe Hurd, they've
kept, yeah, maybe they've kept some staff on just to help with the transition. I'm sure that that's a common thing, but you know, I there was always going to be a big fish that they would go and try to get. I always thought that was going to be the case. I'm sure you did too, Jack, and most people out there. And I think a lot of people thought after 2022 that it would probably be Scott Drew. You know, I think there are a lot of Louisville fans holding out hope that Josh was going to try to go swing at Jay Wright and lure him out of retirement. But Jay, boy, he looks great on television.
Oh, yes, he does. Happy. He was not, born
I don't
for
think
that.
He's, yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. So, you know, I think you always have that big fish that you go try to get. And then you're always have a 2B who you're really comfortable with and you like, as someone who may be more quote unquote gettable. And so it's been interesting listening to the jostling in the fan base and from people who are around the program, who maybe have a little bit more, I don't want to say educated, because that makes it sound like fans are, I don't want to say educated, uneducated, but maybe have a better idea pulse of what's going on. And hearing where all of those people are arguing, you know, who fits here, who fits there, which coach is the best of the rest, that kind of stuff. I think it's been fascinating to hear those conversations.
Which I think, first of all, before we go any farther, that Dusty May would be a phenomenal hire for Louisville, if that is indeed who they end up going with. But looking at...
Can you tell me why? Not that I disagree. Yeah. I just would love to hear your thoughts on it.
I mean, first of all, just watching his teams play, they're a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, he made the Final Four run last year, and I get it. They've had some issues this year. It hasn't been perfect, but you have to keep in mind, they were in Conference USA last year. They were the big fish. They step into the American. Yes, I get it. Memphis kind of collapsed, but you had Memphis there. You had UAB there, who ended up winning the conference title. South Florida went on that phenomenal run throughout the conference season. It's definitely a step up from where you were in Conference USA. So it's moving up a belt in conferences. It's moving up a step in competition. I'm not going to say it's the Big 12 or the SEC by any means, but it's still much better night in, night out than what you're having in Conference USA. And I thought they handled that really well. They were able to handle being, you know, kind of, you know, the chasee instead of the doing the chasing, which they had that target on their back all year long. They're getting everyone's best shot night in, night out. More often than not, they're able to take those punches and win games. And there's also the aspect of the season ends last year. What's the first thing everyone said about FAU and why they didn't think Dusty May would even come back to that job for this year? It's, well, they're going to lose all those players to the transfer portal. How is little old FAU going to keep Elijah Martin, John L. Davis, Vlad Golden, all those dudes? They kept the entire roster together. That is an incredibly hard thing to do at a place like Florida Atlantic. And that is incredibly impressive. And do I think they were probably a tad overseeded for their resume at, as, and I forget if they're the 8 or the 9, but they're in the 8-9 game. Yes, I do. I also think that's an absolute hose job on UConn's part that they have to draw that FAU team in the second round. I mean, there is also there is a scenario where Boo Booey drops 35 on Thursday and they end up winning. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, but Northwestern's out a couple stars. I do think FAU will be able to take care of business in that game. But that is as talented as a team you're going to face in an 8-8 in a 1-8 matchup at a round of 32. Yeah. And I'm picking UConn to go through that, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Florida Atlantic won that game and went on another run. And you look at just what they did last year, how they've handled themselves this year. They did, you know, in one of the better games we saw all year long, they beat Arizona in double overtime. They played in what was basically a true road game out in Vegas. They played, you know, toe-to-toe with Illinois and MSG in the Jimmy V Classic. I like it. I think you'd be real if you're not getting a guy like a Scott Drew or a Nate Oates, I think that's as good a guy to get. Plus, he's on the younger side. And I said this last week. I know people are worried about the Indiana thing. If Indiana were to actually hire him, that means, one, he'd be winning, which would make it appealing to Indiana. And two, people went nuts over the Jeff Goodman report last week on Field of 68 Daily about Louisville might not be able to get Scott Drew and all that. You know what the next bullet point under that was? Was maybe Dusty May doesn't want the pressure of going back to his alma mater, that he might be a better fit at Ohio State. Obviously, Ohio State just hired Jay Diebler as the interim. So you know, maybe I'm not saying one way or another he wants the job, but I don't know if it would be that slam dunk type of deal. But even if he did go to IU, that means he'd be winning, and that would put you in a way better spot as a program than what you're in right now.
And I'll just add on to your thoughts here, because, you know, I think Dusty May is a good basketball coach. I think one thing is, I lived in Palm Beach County in West Palm Beach for 3 years. Boca Raton is in Palm Beach County. It's right on the border between Broward and Palm Beach County down in South Florida. And I went, as Jack, you can appreciate this, you and I are cut from the same cloth. I went to a lot of FAU basketball games.
Are the facilities as bad as everyone says they are?
I don't remember them being particularly impressive, honestly, and I'm not trying to disparage FAU, but that program at the time, they were competitive. They had some decent players, but they were just not, I think they were in the Sun Belt at that point. Don't quote me on that. But just, it's not a place for college basketball. I would go to bars in Palm Beach, County. And remember, Palm Beach, you hear Palm Beach and you think of, you know, the Breakers and these massive mansions and stuff. That is like an island that nobody really goes to. I'm talking West Palm Beach. I'm talking Palm Beach Gardens, these nice places, Boca Raton. But they're a very different part of the county. So just to want to throw
Is that where Del Boca Vista is?
Yeah, it's the made up Del Boca Vista. Yeah. But that is not college basketball country, my friend. That is not even remotely. I mean, I used to have to ask to have March Madness games put on the TVs because they were so worried about football recruiting. And that's when UF and FSU were both pretty good and Miami was trying to figure things out. They still are. And the NFL. and at the time, a little bit of the heat because they were really good. But college basketball was an afterthought there. So you're dealing with a lethargic basketball community, college basketball community, or apathetic one, or small one, I guess is probably a fair point. There's no recruiting base. Maybe you go down to Miami and get some kids, but it's not, you know, maybe go up to Orlando, but those you're competing with Miami, you're competing with UCF, USF, FSU, and UF for Florida kids. That's tough. And then on top of it, you know, again, it's not a basketball school. Now they've invested quite a bit and they've spent some money and it's started to pay off, obviously. But the fact that Dusty May has them in back-to-back tournaments, I think they've won 59 games over the last 2 years, and is able to put together this schedule. Brought it up while you were talking here. They beat Texas A&M on a neutral floor by 7. They beat Virginia Tech by 35 on a neutral floor, 34, excuse me. They beat Liberty, which is always a tough game to play. They beat them by 25. They beat College of Charleston by 16. Charleston, I have picked to win in their opening round game against Alabama.
We shared that.
That is a good team. That is a good team. They're like 30-3, and FAU beat them. They lost by 9 to Illinois. We mentioned the Arizona game. So, like, this is a good team. This is a good FAU team. It's not as good as it was last year. We know that. The metrics have shown that maybe they're not as solid as they were last year, which is how they're in an 8-9 game. But Louisville fans have been aching to watch offense and an offensive flow. And like, that's what Dusty May is going to do. Now, here's the difference. Dusty May is, maybe he'll surprise us. I would highly recommend you go read the profile of him in The Athletic. I think it was CJ Moore. Of course it was CJ. CJ always does a great job on these profiles, and he finds so many interesting things. But Dusty is not going to come in here and be the mayor of Louisville. He's not. That's just not going to be his personality. But dude is going to eat, sleep, and drink basketball, and just from our friends around town of all Benny of Tiger. Dude is a guy that a basketball coach who is invested in your basketball team. So, it may not be the Scott Drew, it may not be the Billy Donovan that people want, but Dusty May is a good basketball coach, and I think he's a good solid hire for this cycle.
I think he's as good as anyone that's been realistically thrown out there. He's this iteration of Shaka Smart is pretty much what he is. Is kind of how I would describe it. Yeah, the guy that made the Final Four at the mid-major. And the question isn't if he ends up leaving, it's whether it's this year, whenever it is. You feel like he'll eventually leave, right? Like FAU's just not where you think he'll be for the long haul. And he's also, again, he's only 47 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, if he were to come and he were to hit, that's someone you can have for a long time. And that can bring the stability back to it that you don't have right now, that you haven't had since Rick Pitino left, that Louisville became so accustomed to having. And I think even if he's not the quote-unquote mayor of Louisville, as you're saying, you're going in and out there on the internet for a minute, you're really good right now. But just to kind of reiterate that, Louisville fans want someone that will eat, sleep, basketball. That's someone 365 days a year, just be locked in on hoops. The football comparison was Jeff Brohm saying that football is his hobby and Louisville fans loving that. But I think Louisville fans would very much resonate with that type of character, that type of attitude to it. I mean, they always got mad for right or wrong. They always got mad at Chris Mack for being at that lake in the summer. Which was always funny. I don't know. I don't think you'd be getting that side of it with Dusty. That was always the one thing with Jay Wright also. Jay Wright, as phenomenal as a basketball coach as it sounded like he liked to unplug from time to time. So I was always like, I don't know if he would really want the pressure cooker of Louisville. It seemed like a very good fit for Philly. So if it's not Dusty May, it's not Scott Drew, though. Let's do this. It sounds like Josh Schertz has kind of become the leading man at St. Louis, and with Indiana State being, I would argue wrongly, being left out of the NCAA tournament, that name's kind of cooled. You brought up College of Charleston. Yeah, Pat Kelsey's a name that's been thrown around a little bit there, has been great the last couple years there. Jerome Tang's a guy that's kind of cool. Nate Oates was always on the outside looking in anyways, and he got that contract extension. I would argue it's not a coincidence that happened the same day the Michigan job opened. But I'll ask before we get to the other names, where does Mick Cronin fit into all this?
My perception is that that's not happening.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
That's just, again, this is my perception. I don't want people to be like, oh, Jeff Greer said that. I'm outside looking in now at this point. But you know, it doesn't sound like they're really, I know people have been jostling of, oh, there's a way out of this buyout and blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure there is, and it's a big, big, big buyout. So same problem that Nate Oates has, even what was it, 10 or 12 for him before they bumped it back up to 18.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big buyout. And, you know, you've got to be, there are certain coaches who your program is going to be willing to pay. And Scott Drew is one of them. This guy's got a national championship. But it doesn't seem like that is, from everything that I'm gathering from watching from the outside looking in, doesn't seem like that is something. The people that I would keep my eye on is, definitely Pat Kelsey. I think if you don't end up with Drew or May, you know, I think you also maybe sit back and see how the tournament goes. You don't want to base your hire on that, but I tell you, a guy who I hope that people don't climb through the internet and come and smack me in the face. But if I'm Josh Hurd, I'm watching how Drake does, because I think Darian DeVries is a really good coach. DeVries, I've heard two different.
I've heard it both ways too. Okay.
But I think that dude can coach his butt off. And the fact is that, you know, the Valley, I know the Valley isn't what people used to think of the Valley. It's a good league, and they have been winning a lot for years. And we talk about, you know, I think the same thing you would get with all four of these guys between Dusty May, Josh Schertz, Pat Kelsey, and Darian DeVries, really good offensive coaches, really good, smart offensive minds. They run, I love when people say this, but they run good stuff. Interesting stuff. Jay Wright talked about it, you know, on the selection show of like, this is an interesting team. And, you know, you want, like, in a situation like this, you want someone who, if you're not going to get the Scott Drews, and probably I would put Mick Cronin like a next tier down, but he is a better basketball coach than Louisville fans give him credit for.
Absolutely.
I think it's such a weird, like, I think it's the Cincinnati thing. They just don't like the Cincinnati thing. And then kind of the way he acts on the sidelines, I think, especially, you know, when there are rivalry games with Pitino, but dude is a really good basketball coach. And, you know, you hear names like Jamie Dixon were tossed out a couple weeks ago. Like, those guys have all had success, and they would be high floor type coaches. But when you're looking at the mid-major types, those guys who are kind of the next wave of the, you mentioned Shaka, the Shakas, the Archie Millers, the Chris Max, all these guys who are in that wave of coaches coming through. Greg Marshall was always seemingly mentioned in all of these jobs before things went south for him. But it's tough. You got to pick right. You got to pick right about among those choices. But all of those guys have reputations as really sharp offensive minds. And, you know, the question is, can you go get a high level transfer? And, you know, Dusty May has proven that he can at FAU. He went out and got some high level guys. But those guys would have to come in and figure out ways to bring in some big name players early and jolt that offense and figure out the offensive side of things. But I know you wanted to, speaking of transfers, that's an easy segue for you. Let's talk about the transfers for a few minutes.
Yes. And just one last thing on that, whoever the new coach is, I've said this many times before, but they're going to have to be very cognizant of the fan base is not going to be patient. Like it's going to be, you know, even though they're new coming in, Louisville hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2017. They haven't made the field since 2019 and they haven't been to the second weekend since 2015. The fan base at, especially with how the last few years, the Kenny Payne years and the last Chris Mack-Pease year have gone, they're going to want to win. They're going to want to win right away. So there's going to be a sense of urgency, need to be a sense of urgency from whoever that coach is to come and put a competitive product out there on the floor to at least be fighting for the NCAA tournament.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But here's my piece on the transfer portal, Jeff. You've had in the last couple of days, Dennis Evans, JJ Traynor, Caleb Glenn, Curtis Williams enter the portal. I'm not overly worried about it for two reasons. Number one, you went 8-24 the last year. Like, would it be nice to keep some of these players? Like, is there talent on the roster? Yes. But at the end of the day, you went 8-24 with these players. So if you're able to get some of them back, not whatever. Like the new coach will have to mold the roster how he pleases, and no matter how he wants to, that I'm good with that. Number two, and I would argue this is more important, just because they're in the portal doesn't mean they can't come back.
Bingo.
And the example I'll use for this is after Indiana fired Archie Miller. Yes, I'm using an Indiana example. I'm an Indiana grad. I'm sorry. But after Indiana fired
Jackie Hoosiers over here.
Yep. After Indiana fired Archie Miller, IU had six players in the portal and Trace Jackson Davis had declared for the NBA draft. They hire Mike Woodson and The number one thing for him was, one, he got Jackson Davis to come back out of the draft. Mm-hmm. And two, he kept all six players that entered their name in the transfer report.
Yep.
That's
huge.
And I'm not saying that, you know, Caron Davis also in the portal, but I don't really count him on that. But if you have end up with right now, you got four, technically five, if you end up with seven, eight players in the portal, the new coach can come back and re-recruit as many of them as he wants to. Maybe you get a few of those guys back. Just because they're in the portal doesn't mean they can't come back. So I'm not exactly panicking, mainly for that second reason, but also the first one when it comes to, you know, oh, they have all these names in the portal.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, I think ultimately, you know, there's time. There's, you know, a lot of these kids are looking to transfer up. You know, you hear all the rumors of, oh, you know, there's a cold call and someone was offered 200 grand to come to that school. You hear that stuff. And certainly my group texts continue to be interesting, but like, there's going to be kids available. And I know, you know, for fans, like you said, you know, the familiarity helps. You got a 31-game sample or 32-game sample with a lot of these guys. And I mean, I know there are injuries and stuff or multi-year samples in the case of like a JJ Trainer, guys like that. But you also have to remember, you know, JJ Trainer and Mike James have experienced a lot of basketball coaches in their time at Louisville. You know, the guys who came in this year played through a season of it was pretty dire. And so you want to try to keep those guys just because you know them. And I think that there's lots of time for them to retain them, but also remember that a lot of the guys who are entering the portal want to move up. And tournament teams are they recruiting? Of course they are. That's like the 98% of the work that these coaching staffs do. But, you know, they're not going to be able to get them on campus and stuff like as frequently to be able to do visits and do all of that stuff. So there is a little bit of time, and Louisville should be, you would think, with a good hire and a quick coaching staff piece together, they should be able to be competitive to go out and get some guys. And yeah, maybe they keep a couple of them too. And, you know, the coaching staff, it's all about that preparation and that presentation. How do you talk through to a kid and say, hey, if you come back, these are the ways I can help you get better. These are the ways that I think this team can be better. But I'll tell you what, Jack, I'm going to throw this out there. Because, you know, I have limited appearances now on the old podcast. I'm really excited. I was bummed, but I expected it that my Pitt Panthers were not going to make the tournament. But I'm going to tell you right now, if they're able to keep that core, I know Blake Henson will be moving on, but if they're able to keep that core and you get Lowe and Carrington in the backcourt, you get the Graham twins, you get Federico, Ishmael Leggett. Let's see if he comes back. Give me a wing in the transfer portal. And I think Pitt is a preseason top 25 team.
I like it. First of all,
Federico, I am jacked up. I'm going to watch every game next year. Every game.
Federico is one of the better names in college basketball.
Oh, it may be the best.
It's so good. It's so good.
I like Chucky Hepburn, too. That's
Chuck. Hey, he's playing good ball now, too. Yeah. He's
he looked pissed at the selection Sunday. Did you see him? He was not reacting to anything. It was great.
I mean, they just lost the Big Ten title game like 20 minutes prior, so it makes sense. But I mean, that's a big revelation for Wisconsin, because he's a dude that they expected to carry a lot more of the scoring load this year, and he hasn't taken that step for the most part. I mean, A.J. Stewart really filled in nicely, but to see him come on in the Purdue game and against Illinois, that could be good for Wisconsin. They drew a really, really rough one with James Madison, though, in that first round.
I think I have JMU winning that game, I think.
I have flipped back and forth about four times already.
I have Wisconsin. Well, what are your picks, Jack?
So I have five bold predictions that I need you to tell me if I'm crazy.
I love it. Okay.
All right. Number one, I have Mississippi State beating North Carolina and going to the Elite Eight. Number two,
are you going to say all five?
I'll roll through all five. Okay. Number two, I got a Grand Canyon Charleston matchup and Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Number three, I got Florida making an Elite Eight run and upsetting Kentucky in the Sweet 16.
Wow. Okay.
I like that Florida team.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember all these.
They kicked my Panthers' ass this year. That was brutal.
Yeah, they're playing really good ball right now. All right. I have BYU over Illinois and Iowa State.
Okay.
And then right now I have Houston in the Final Four, but I have no confidence in that because of their injuries on the front line. Mm-hmm. But I can't trust Kentucky to win four games in a row the way they defend. Plus, Florida's played them really well twice already. Marquette has the Kolek injury stuff to where I thought they fought pretty admirably. I butchered that word so terribly the last few. It was very admirable how they played the last few weeks without Kolek, but I can't trust them to face the firepower of one, you know, a Kentucky in a Sweet 16 game with him missing a month, or two, being able to handle Houston's pressure on that. So I don't know if I trust them. And three, I have them losing to Florida anyways in the way Florida's playing right now. Yeah. Now, and then four, or I guess the fifth one would be, I'm tempted. I don't have it in my bracket right now, but I'm very tempted to have Nebraska or A&M beating Houston along the same
lines. Wow. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay, what's your final four?
Right now, I have 3-1 seeds and a 2 seed, which I absolutely hate because that's never going to happen. But I have UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Arizona.
Okay. Okay.
So that's I think that might be part of my reason is I'm very hesitant to put 3-1 seeds in the final four. And I'm looking that's at fair. Houston as they're banged up. They just got smoked by Iowa State, and maybe, you know, the injuries on the front line is really going to impact how they defend. But I think Purdue's ever going to make it to the Final Four. This is going to be the year. First of all, this is the best team they've had, which, you know, makes sense. And second of all, God, they got an absolute gift of a draw. Like, I think Utah State and TCU are both good teams, but they're not good enough to beat Purdue in the second round. They got Gonzaga as their 5 seed, who I thought should have been like an 8 or a 9. I think they are one of the most overseeded teams I've ever seen in this event. That I like they beat Kentucky and St. Mary's on the road. I get that. That's their entire resume. They haven't done anything. Yeah. And the love, the West Coast Conference has been a very good league the last few years, but they lost BYU this year. And St. Mary's did absolutely nothing in the non-conference. I do not understand how both those teams got 5 seeds. It's ridiculous to me.
I thought the Mountain West really got screwed. And of course,
I thought they did too.
I know everybody thinks that. And look, you know, I know that I'm biased. I don't see. And again, the eye test is not a thing. And, you know, Pitt's non-conference strength of schedule ended up being in the 300s. And that is ultimately what did them in. But I don't see how you could watch St. John's, Seton Hall, Pitt, any of those teams play in the last few weeks and be like, these aren't good enough to these teams do not belong in the tournament. Yeah. And I know it's all about resume and all that stuff, but I'm sorry that you watch those teams. And again, I'm such a committee guy. I love the numbers. I love the quadrants. I love diving into that stuff. I'm on Warren Nolan. It's my most visited website on my iPhone, on my Safari, is warrennolan.com.
Mine is bracketologist.com, which is the exact same thing as Warren Nolan.
Yeah, number two is Bracket Matrix, you know, and so I'm looking at all this stuff, and I get it. I get that the resumes, I think Pitt probably had less of an argument than St. John's and probably Seton Hall, but like those teams should have been in the tournament, and the Mountain West got screwed. You should not. Boise State should not be playing in a play-in game. Boise State should be playing in an 8-9 game. But anyway, all right, let me give you my picks here. So one, I don't think you're crazy on Mississippi State. You watch a lot of Big Ten, and I think as a result, you are probably going to laugh at my thought here, but I have the upset too, but I have it being Michigan State.
And here's my thing. I like both.
Hold on.
Sorry to cut you off.
Hold on.
I'll let you. You know me. I'm a jabbermouth.
let me give you my picks. It's Izzo, and I know it's not. I know that he is not. That maybe he's. People have kind of been critical of him lately, and that's fine. I'm trying to pick a one seed early to go out, and I was debating between Purdue Purdue and UNC, and UNC has two power conference teams that metrically are highly rated. And that is a problem. I think Tennessee may have the same issue with Texas. If Texas gets through that first round, I think Tennessee is going to have their hands full with a team that is a power conference team that has good metrics.
The Rick Barnes Bowl.
Yeah, the Rick Barnes Bowl. And then the other ones that I really like Creighton. I've got Creighton in my Final Four, actually. And I don't trust Marquette because of the injury. I also, I think I have Marquette in the Elite Eight, but I just don't think that they can, I don't think they're a Final Four team. But here's the ones that I've dinged, and maybe this is my life as a Pitt alum, but I don't trust anyone who gets hot during championship week and wins the conference tournament. So I've got Morehead State beating Illinois. Okay.
All
which
right.
is a hugely dangerous pick.
Yeah.
Illinois is a lot of talent. They look really freaking good last week. I also have Washington State or Drake. I like Drake. I keep saying I have him in my Elite Eight. I don't know if I'm ready to pull the trigger on that, though. So the winner of Washington State, Drake, I have winning, beating Iowa State in the second round. Those are the two hot conference tournament winners. I've got Charleston beating Alabama. So I've taken a risk on some of these, and I just don't know how confident I am in any of them. But the other one that I want to throw out there, Jack, is every year there's been a first four team who gets to the Sweet 16. So I've got Boise State as my Sweet 16 team, even though I know the Mountain West has not historically in the last few years had a great time in the NCAA tournament. Fortunately for me, if Colorado does it, I get credit for the same thing in my bracket. So I don't, at least in the ones I'm picking, but our Final Four is pretty similar. I've got Purdue and Creighton, Houston and Creighton and UConn and Arizona. So close. I think that gets us three of the four same. And then I've got UConn over Houston. I know it's hard to repeat. I actually have really liked Purdue all year. I've really liked Tennessee. And honestly, I really like UNC. So I feel weird picking against them early like that. But I think the biggest thing for me is like Houston has, I know they got rocked last week, but there have been so many games against high level opponents this year where Houston just kicked their ass.
Oh yeah.
And I know they're not healthy, you know, all this stuff, but at the end of the day, I mean, they've just kicked some ass this year. So I think those two and Purdue are the best teams in the country. I feel bad because I know you're an IU guy.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Purdue. Like I want Purdue to win it all because I like teams that get this moniker of they always choke. Villanova used to get that. Florida used to get it. Then they went on their little runs. Virginia, of course, did it. And I know Louisville fans, it's probably painful to hear that it's like, oh, I thought it was kind of nice that they finally won a title.
There is some irony though. Like Virginia loses in 2018. Then mm-hmm. in 2019, they get put in a region with, when you think of, you know, the quote unquote choke artists of March, they get put in a region of Tony Bennett, Rick Barnes, Matt Painter, Fran McCaffrey. Then Purdue goes out, loses to a 16 last year, and this year, mm-hmm. who's in their region?
Mm-hmm.
Rick Barnes, Tony Bennett, and Texas, who no matter who the coach is, always chokes.
I love it.
It feels like.
I love it.
So it is kind of funny how that happens.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I will. It's funny because before the bracket was revealed, I have proof of this. I have receipts if you need it somewhere. but I had been saying, two coaches who I think would be really interesting hires for Louisville if it got to that point where they were looking at these are Kyle Smith and Darian DeVries and are playing each other in the first round with Washington State and Drake. And I really liked them before the tournament started. I'm disappointed that they're playing each other. So that's probably the game that I've struggled with the most out of every pick.
Yeah, I've struggled. Second round Carolina game is really struggling for me.
Because
I feel like you got to pick one somewhere. I think that's the best chance. Michigan State, I love Izzo. Obviously, I wouldn't be stunned at all if he was the one to make the run. But I look at Michigan State's front line. It's so, mm-hmm. so bad. And I look at Tolu Smith. And I think Tolu Smith can just eat them alive on the front line. Tyson Walker's phenomenal. He hasn't gotten enough help this year, but I think Josh Hubbard can if not outplay him, I think he can have like a push with Tyson Walker on the perimeter to where I think Tolu Smith would be the difference in that one. But do we really think either one of those two teams can beat North Carolina in Charlotte?
I don't know. That's the big,
that's my big hang up.
In fact, I may end up changing my bracket. I still have time. I have two more days. I'm waffling on a few of these picks just listening to you talk. So,
but yeah. I got UConn over Purdue. I like Creighton a lot. Also, I have them in my Elite Eight, but Kalkbrenner,
that'd be a heck of a matchup.
That'd be a phenomenal matchup. The two things I look at is Kalkbrenner, probably the best post defender in the country going up against Edie. Creighton doesn't foul against Purdue, who fouls literally everyone out. I think would be fascinating. What it comes down to is how do you beat Purdue on the offensive end? Pick and roll, killing Edie in that drop coverage and mid-range jump shots. If they still had Ryan Nembhard on that team and he wasn't at Gonzaga, I would pick Creighton in a heartbeat. But Trey Alexander can do it some, but I just don't know if they have the personnel to be able to totally take advantage of that the way, you know, like Northwestern with Boo Booey has, for example, like Wisconsin did with
you. Just like saying Boo Booey. All right, so I know you got to go because you have a real life and you have to go do stuff. Let me ask you this. In their region, UConn has basically been sort of this unquestioned.
They got screwed
for good reason.
They're
incredible. Which team out of this group, out of this region, which team will give them the most trouble?
I look at two. I look at FAU and Auburn. FAU
is crazy. Right? The second round in Sweet 16.
Yeah, because I look at it and I say FAU has so much talent. They've been there before. And they've kind of played with their food a little bit in the American, I feel like. But if they flip that switch, they're as good as anyone. And we just talked about Purdue taking advantage of that drop coverage. You put Kling in that drop coverage, Sampson Johnson, James, that drop coverage, and John L. Davis, Elijah Martin can eat. They can catch fire. Now, I don't know if they can defend well enough to beat UConn and play and do it for a full 40 minutes, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if they won that game. And that scares me because I have UConn winning the championship. The other one I look at is Auburn. Their defensive intensity, defensive pressure is so, so, so good. If they're hitting their shots, you know, I think they're the only team like top five above offensive and defensive efficiency. If they're not top five, they're somewhere like top 7 and 8. They're very balanced. They're very deep. They'll play aggressive. I think that,
and then sometimes
really,
they just
really
get their asses kicked.
Yeah,
like that. That's so interesting with them. And we have one of my colleagues here is an Auburn grad. He watches pretty much every Auburn hoops game and definitely football. And he'll just come in the next day, like, they destroyed so and so. He's like, they look pretty good. And then like 2 weeks later, be like, well, we lost by 20. And it's fascinating, but Bruce Pearl is that's a heck of a matchup.
If you remember the one time he made the Final Four, it was a similar type spot facing North Carolina with Kobe White, Luke May, and all those dudes. Mm-hmm. Really, the team I thought was going to win the national championship that year, phenomenal team out of a beast of an ACC, and they whooped him by like 25 that Sweet 16 game. Yeah. So I would not be stunned at all. Then I like BYU also to come out of the bottom half of that bracket, which I think you can handle BYU, but Illinois, they got really good individual defenders, but for whatever reason, they don't defend well as a team, which is very weird. And then you look at the two games they played Iowa State, that ends up being the Sweet 16 matchup. BYU whooped them in the game in Utah, and they led for about 35 minutes in Hilton Coliseum. So I think I like that matchup for them to get to the Elite Eight. I have to go because, for full disclosure, it's 2:23 p.m., and I have to be at work by 2:30. Hey, it's only about a 7-minute drive, so it's going to cut it close.
All right, get your booty in the car, buddy.
Yeah, so I'm going to go. I wish we had more time. We'll do something again soon here on Floyd Street's Finest. Jeff, always, always appreciate the time, buddy. We'll catch up again soon. Enjoy March Madness, the term of the coaching search, all that stuff, too.